Agbabola.
Agbabola.
How much is money?
It's nothing.
Ballin', ballin'.
Alapa.
Premium or nothing.
Them or nothing.
Now you know.
Now you know.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the couch.
Back.
Couch Chronicles Therapist After Dark.
Hi, friends.
Hi, ladies. What's going on?
Life is going
on. What is going on? I think for the most part, getting ready for the upcoming holiday season definitely is on the horizon. Trying to figure out what's going to happen in 2026 is usually about the time when I start planning for vacations. So
quarter four things coming up. Cool.
I feel like you'd be planning for vacations.
I am. I'm trying to do something different this year. I think I want to take a month off.
You mean next year?
Yes. In 2026. And I haven't done that before, so... That's going to take some planning.
I'm excited to hear what that feels like, you know, in collaboration with our previous episode around rest.
Right.
Yeah.
I hope that's something
taking that little role.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, let's get into it. Let's get into our mindfulness practice for the day.
Yes, ma'am.
We're going to do a bit of mindfulness observation.
Okay.
So I want you all to start off by getting into a comfortable position and just begin to notice your body on the surface beneath you. Where does your body touch the surface beneath you? What does it feel like for your feet to be planted on the ground? What do your clothes feel like? Just taking note. Next, I want you to focus on what you maybe hear in your surroundings. What sounds are present? You could be curious if your mind begins to wonder or offer you suggestions on what that sound might be. I encourage you to try to notice without judgment, just allowing yourself to be present with whatever sounds are in the moment. Next, I want you to move your attention to the smells that might be in the room. You can take a deep breath in through your nose and out through your mouth. And as you continue to breathe in and out, noticing any fragrances that might be present. And take note if any of these smells generate memories or thoughts. Again, just trying to notice without judgment. When you're ready, noticing any taste. Is there any lingering taste or sensations on your tongue? Do you notice anything in particular from that snack that you had earlier? Or just noticing what might be present there without judgment or giving in to the thoughts that your mind might offer you. We'll close out our practice with noticing our surroundings once more, gently blinking your eyes open, taking a look around you. What do you see? How does your body respond to the things that are around you? Does it generate any sense of comfort or discomfort? Are there any memories or thoughts that come to mind with the things that you see? Try to notice, again without judgment or giving into your thoughts, just recognizing what might be there. We'll end the practice with a few deep breaths in through your nose and out through your mouth. And when you're ready, I'd like to hear what are some things that you noticed in the space today? And were there any sensations, urges, thoughts that came up for you?
Okay. Well, when you say notice our environment, there's a lot of external stimuli that's going on in the environment. So I definitely noticed a different sound. It did make me feel uncomfortable a little bit because I was like, why is it so loud?
So the urge to correct came
up? Yes, the urge to correct came up. I also took some deep breath and kind of directed, you know, went back into my body and processed that. I did, when you, towards the end of the practice, when you encourage us to open our eyes and see what's around us, I had this tingly feeling all of a sudden that kind of came into my body, but I really couldn't tell you what it was, and I just noticed it in my legs. But I also started smiling because I see, like, a picture of me and my partner. So that brought some memories because I remember when I got that. And also just seeing the green around, I was like, feels warm in here.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for sharing. What about you, Steph?
Thank you, Brian.
For me, I think that I also tapped into the external kind of sounds, and I noticed the word that came to mind was ruffling or rustling. I found myself kind of going back and forth about, like, which of those words fit the sounds that I was hearing. And I think for me, when you asked us to open our eyes and really take in our surroundings, I immediately noticed this, like, emerald green couch. Fell into my urges to, like, touch it and to feel, like, the textures of it. Really kind of felt myself really pulled into that. Then raising my head up and noticing a blue and red game item in front of me, and it brought the memory of the game day that I participated in recently, and you know, all the different energies vibes that were there, and that was something that I saw, but I didn't get too pulled into, where I got consumed by any feelings or thoughts or going down memory lane. And then I noticed the bright, like, red, almost like candy apple red blazer, and kind of thinking back to the last time that I remember you wearing that. Just my mind was very much just kind of curious and taking in all the different things and being like, oh, it was the last time that I saw that thing, or how curious was I with that? So feeling a comfortable detachment as I was kind of looking around and observing things.
When you experience this in other places, like when you maybe see something or have a sensory experience with something, does that often generate a reference for you where it maybe is a memory or a time where you experience that thing?
Yes and no. I think when, because my thoughts are images, usually pictures, in that they don't often come as words, if ever. I think my mind is always trying to be like, when's the last time that I've seen this thing, right? Or if this is something new, my mind will, like, manipulate it in an interesting way, or just sometimes just kind of register it for later. So yeah, I think I haven't really thought about it in the way that you asked me, so I'll pay more attention to that in the future.
Right, cool. My experience with it, I definitely wanted to, I was intentional about choosing something that can help us be present, particularly because there are just some different things going on than we are usually used to when we're recording, right? And so I wanted us to maybe practice a little bit of the discomfort with the things that are going on, and hoping, in hopes that that is something that we can carry throughout the recording and not be pulled away by those experiences, kind of just inviting them to be a part of just what we've got going on. So there was a little bit of intention behind that.
I appreciate that.
Definitely.
Sitting with discomfort out here.
And that was a similar experience. I definitely had a lot of predictions around like the things that I was hearing, like, oh, what's Jay thinking about this? I know that's something that's probably like, Jay wants to say this or do something. I hope she can resist.
Look, let me
tell you. I didn't expect to have a full house in my house today. But you know.
Right. So, yeah, I think that overall I felt like, mm-hmm. I also felt like I was able to still participate while yeah. instructing, which is something that I have maybe struggled with in the past yeah. or felt like I had to choose one or the other.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, I felt very present to all of my senses.
Good deal.
I appreciate you yeah. offering that to us and yeah. giving us a to walk the line of that. Multiple things can be showing up in your experience, yep. those that are pleasant, those mm-hmm. that are not. And, you know, you make
the choice.
Exactly.
Yeah, you can choose how you want to move forward. Like, you can create your own destiny around how you interact with your environment.
That part. What we cracking right. up on today?
Yeah, what are we talking about today, ladies?
Well, I'm pretty sure we are tackling a very common occurrence for a lot of friendships. But specifically, I think this topic, I think, often more happens with women in general,
sure.
Friendship breakups. That's what we're
and
talking
we all
about.
Experience it.
We have all experienced friendship breakups.
And I'm older. I've had my down the wall
yes.
crying.
Yes. So I think we have ourselves a confessional here yeah. That we want to talk through. So Jay, you want to read that one or
no, sis? I'm gonna let you have that.
I got
one.
Okay. Cool. Okay. I went through a friendship breakup with my best friend last year. It was pretty long, drawn out process, including many difficult conversations, miscommunication, and ultimately her refusing to speak to me or for me for months. Since the initial conflict, we have started speaking again in the sense that we see each other at mutual friend events, but we are more just acquaintances now. Mm-hmm. Despite time and energy, I'm having an insanely difficult time letting go of this relationship. She and her husband meant the world to me, and I really thought of them like family, but it seems like they had been building resentment towards me for a long time that came out during a huge milestone for both of us. I know that I still have other good friends, and I've been trying to put my energy into those relationships, but I feel so empty. I don't know who I am anymore or what I bring to the table. It's really hard to not feel just completely worthless when you give your all to a relationship and they still walk away from you. Mm. And I'm having a hard time making new friends because I'm so insecure about the things that I say, the way that I'm coming across to other people, especially due to the criticism I received during the fallout with my best friend. For anyone that has gone through similar things in their late 20s, how did you come out of this better? Or how did you come on the other side? Any advice for feeling like myself again? I want to grow from this and live a good life, but I still honestly feel so confused by what happened and what she expected of me. I just feel like I'm not very likable and will never have close relationships that I really crave.
Phew. Right. Quite a bit there. So I want us to take a little bit of a different approach today,
yes,
right?
We've decided to switch it up.
A little bit more of the clinical side. So mm-hmm. how would you all approach a client that was coming to you with this information? Maybe like where would you get started and like how would you maybe formulate some goals or things around what the client is coming with?
Mm-hmm. We're doing it from the clinical stand.
Yes, we are showing some vulnerability, or I guess maybe more just some clinical expertise about where we would approach it, right? So, Jay, you start. What are your thoughts?
We got to start with me.
Yes,
all right. Well, I first would start with creating space for the grievance. Yeah. There is a genuine grievance that is happening in a rupture of a relationship, mm-hmm. of trust. Even a rupture of identity.
Identity, yeah.
So I would sit with making room, making space for that without even trying to change, trying to jump into it. Yeah. And I would take some time, probably maybe 2 to 3 session with the client to go through their grievance around that and yeah. what that means. Yeah. And the second thing as we're going through the grievance, I think I would do is approach how they are experiencing each stages of these grievance in their body. So we know the stages of grief as it relates to like denial, acceptance, anger, and bargain, and all these other stages. But the stages that they themselves are experiencing with the friendship, right? What does that rupture actually mean? How do they experience that in their bodies? I think they sound like they're really going through the motion of what was done to them, what they did, how they feel without that. But what does that really mean?
Yeah.
And is there a handicap or tightness in their body? I would also explore outside of this friendship when they have felt this way before with any other relationship. And because to me, there might be some learning history for this type of rupture before, or there might not be, but it'll be curiosity. I will explore it because it might seem to be like some parental abandonment ship might be there. But again, that's just my assumption, something to explore. Now, when we move into the what we would call the skills part. I think the first skills that I would teach them is one of my favorite and the hardest skill. And the reason why I would teach this distress tolerance skill, because it's going to take practice and time, but to introduce the, I introduce it to clients to have it in their forefront, that they may not be able to engage in this skill, but it will be something they'll be mindful of, is DBT's radical acceptance. And I always break it down to there's acceptance, like, all right, it happened, so what? But to radically accept something is to fully, wholeheartedly be in it. You're not kicking and screaming. You're not being bitter. You're not throwing a temper tantrum about the friendship. But to really accept that whatever I did with this friend, she is not a space where a capacity where she wants to speak, engage with me, talk to me about it. She's taken it. Not only it seems like the friendship is lost, but the radical acceptance around there seems to have been a friendship with the partner as well. That family and that lack of accessibility. So radically accept that the friend has made the decision. So that's beyond their control. And what's what is within their control, which is making room for the grievance, making room for the fact that the pain that they're feeling is real. Radically accepting that this friendship is, even if they will go to Quebec to it, it may not be the same thing that, you know, it could
there's
be.
There's been a shift.
So,
or a change.
So exactly. And then with that, also, I will attach the second skill is like willingness and willfulness. You know, are you being willful about accepting this, accepting the ending of this relationship? You know, saying, why me? I did everything. I did all of that. And fighting the fact that even the part where they feel like they're unlikable, is there a willfulness around like accepting the fact that it's not you? You know, and part of that, and a willingness to accept that you showed up and did. And if there are parts that you also take an accountability for how others experiencing you. I will partner those up first.
So I'm definitely hearing that you would start with opening the space and providing that validation, just trying to gain a little bit more understanding, and then moving into the skills on what they can do, which is really important for our clients. Having the space to really be acknowledged and be present and open to the feelings. I think that we all practice the same modality, right? So we perhaps will have similar approaches. As Stephanie was reading the confessional, I definitely had some questions come to mind for sure, right? One question that was left out of one question that I am always trying to remind myself to engage in or my supervisees is what's missing, right? What is being left out of this experience? Because we are really hearing things from just our client's perspective. I can't call the other person into the room and really get a full understanding, right? But I had a lot of curiosity around when the confessional person talked about they have been having some difficult conversations. I would want to dig into and understand a little bit more about what that has looked like.
That's true.
how have you been able to be accountable in those spaces? Mm-hmm. Is there things that the client is maybe taking on that are maybe more the other person's responsibility mm-hmm. than their own?
Yeah.
And really understanding, kind of raising the awareness around like what it is that you can be responsible for in this moment versus taking on the, like, I've done everything that I can. It right. still didn't work. That more personalized feeling with the end of the relationship.
Right. Which yeah. most clients tend to do. Yeah. Right. I think when, especially when friendship or any sorts of relationship mm-hmm. end, it sometimes goes into the self-blaming and self-owning yeah. and not really.
Or what does this mean about
what
me?
What does this mean
right?
about me? Mm-hmm. Exactly. So I think those questions that you would pose will really cause like, the person to kind of reflect on really what is the facts behind yeah. this friendship and what am I taking on as my yeah. thing and not the person's things or vice versa.
Yeah.
To your
and
point.
I think that also kind of helps with being in alignment with that radical acceptance, mm-hmm. right? What mm-hmm. exactly am I even trying to accept?
Exactly. exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I feel like I would be remiss if I didn't bring up the fact that it is the friendship breakup really connects to attachment, right? Yes. And mm-hmm. bond. And so if, I was practicing from an attachment standpoint, right? An attachment yeah. theory. One thing that you want to look at is like understanding the friendship breakup from that client's attachment style
yeah.
mm-hmm. or the ways in which that they like relate to bonding, building relationships, mm-hmm. understanding if that person is available to them, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so one, you want to recognize what does that friendship or what did that friendship, how did it serve for you or yeah. what did it serve
what
for
did
you?
It mean?
Like yeah. when you were interacting with this person, when you were attached to this person, did mm-hmm. they give you a sense of like safety emotionally? Was there a belonging? Was mm-hmm. there you upheld a certain dynamic that felt familiar to you yeah. in yeah. maybe another part of your life, right? Yeah. Like, so you really want to know one, not only about like how to mend and not really necessarily like get over mm-hmm. that friendship breakup, yeah. but understand how to be securely attached for your future
yeah.
friendships yeah. or yeah. your future relationships. Because yeah. I don't know about you guys, but when friendship breakups feel sometimes deeper and they cut harshly
yeah.
or harsher
yeah.
than intimate relationships, romantic yeah. relationships at times, romantic, maybe because of the, yeah. the time that we
yeah.
have invested with those people, the things yeah. that we've shared with that person.
Yeah.
Sometimes even with, especially with women, the intimacy there is deeper,
yeah.
right, than it is at times with a romantic yeah. relationship. So I think that whenever I have experienced a friendship breakup, it has really altered my sense of self,
yeah.
but also my security and my safety, or at least not questioning of my other relationships,
mm-hmm.
right? And mm-hmm. so I think that you already touched on the validating the grief and the mm-hmm. loss, but also identifying and modifying the attachment patterns that show up once you've been threatened in this way, mm-hmm. right? Because the ultimate threat to your internal system that, you know,
yep.
picks up on,
yep.
if, you know, you
the
and
change.
I are cool or
yeah.
not,
yeah.
immediately gets destroyed or at least mm-hmm. upended whenever a friendship ends or destroys, yeah. right?
Yeah. Right. Another approach I will add into it is an act piece of like values.
Yes.
Because
yes.
what it sounds like to me is that our confessional person seems like their value system was embedded in this relationship
yes.
and there seems to have been a struggle mm-hmm. of understanding what their values are.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. one thing I will start off is also defining what is values. Values is how we want to show up in the world and how do we want to, when it comes to interacting with people
yeah.
and relationships and so forth and so on. So I think it is sitting down with identifying what is their values. Because if you're talking about that attachment piece, a lot they seem to be in the anxious attachment
that's
style.
That's what I was going
to
say.
That's what that seems like to fall to me. And if you're thinking about an anxious attacher, right, the majority of their identity at times tends to be on the pleasing.
Yeah.
Let me accommodate myself to yeah. fit whatever is needed in the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wonder if attaching them to their own, let's identify what your values are, which can take time.
Yes. Outside of what the other person has already, right?
Mm-hmm. Because it seems like you may have viewed friendship in this one way, mm-hmm. and this person may have viewed that. And that's the part where acceptance, radical acceptance, is going to have to come back. Because just because we have always of how we want to act in a friendship and how we want to be and how we want to show up in the friendship, yeah. that may not be the same value the person that we are having friendships with mm. is, you know, is maybe of the same thing.
Yeah.
If you're looking at our friendship unit, the reason why our friendship has worked at the level and for the years that it's worked at is because we have values on how to approach each other's friendship
correct.
In a way that is within our own right. interpersonal.
That we yeah. share. We yeah. have shared values and the yeah. ways in which that we execute it. But like you said, to yeah. your point, right, folks who are leaning in the anxious, attached
mm-hmm.
Style,
mm-hmm.
one of the responses that you're most likely going to get after a breakup is the rumination
sure.
and yeah. the intense like
questioning,
distress yeah. and the, mm-hmm. the constant replaying, yeah. but then also feeling helpless because you're yeah. unable mm-hmm. to thwart, change, modify that whole mm-hmm. you know situation. But that falls in line with activating strategies, right?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
for someone who's anxiously attached, when my system is aware now that that person that I want to be close with or I've chosen to be close with is no longer accessible to me,
yeah.
all it wants to do is to mend and to reach back to that
yeah.
person. So, of course, thinking about them nonstop, feeling
mm-hmm. yeah.
things that make you want to get closer to them is what's going to happen with a friendship breakup that you've had and has been something you could lean on for a very, very long time.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
you got me thinking
mm.
also diffusion and fusion, because they seem to be fused.
Yes.
Yes.
Into their identity within that friendship,
yeah.
what they believe to be true.
And what that
so
means about them.
What is about
yeah.
them.
Yeah.
And I think the part that some diffusion that I would work with the client is, I hear you say, I am not likable.
Mm-hmm.
I never crave close relationship. So I wonder that I am not likable, if we can diffuse that into, I'm having the thought that I'm
yes.
not likable.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm having the thought, maybe teaching them how to separate themselves,
yeah.
their identity of who they are,
mm-hmm.
into the thoughts that they're having, which is perfectly normal.
Mm-hmm.
We all have thoughts about that comes and goes,
yeah.
and then really detaching them
mm-hmm.
from the thought that having from their identity of who they are.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. Right?
Yeah.
I think that kind of continuing on with that point around like raising the client's awareness and like helping them mm-hmm. to understand themselves as context versus
yeah.
like I'm just in it, right? Like
yeah.
all of these things mean something about me
yeah.
versus like this is a part of my experience.
Mm-hmm.
Also bringing the client, she mentioned something about the friend and partner building resentment and
yes.
that coming out in a big argument. So
yeah.
I would really be curious about that experience as well.
Mm-hmm.
In my own personal experience and the things that I've witnessed with my clients, oftentimes the friendship breakup is usually like this big blowout
mm-hmm.
where there was maybe some things that
mm-hmm.
were unsaid and not spoken
yes.
about.
Yeah.
And that does leave the person, especially someone with an anxious attachment style,
mm-hmm.
ruminating, confused.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
in this moment, was I showing up in the way that they wanted me to
mm-hmm.
without that information? I know that in my personal experience, I feel like that is the most devastating for sure, to like
not
have an
answers.
End to the relationship and
mm-hmm.
not being clear around mm-hmm. like why or what
mm-hmm.
what were some things that happened that didn't allow us to work towards relationship repair.
Right.
Yeah, and normalizing
well, you know,
that experience for the client, because I think at least for me or even for the friendships or the clients that I've had, it almost feels as if like in order for you to gain freedom from the grief, you need to know
exactly
what happened.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or so that you will be able to close that book.
That's
closure,
that bargaining
right?
piece.
The proverbial
right.
closure
like, I'm trying to bargain.
That people have. Like, I'm looking
mm-hmm.
for this closure when, in fact, you could still get the information
mm-hmm.
as to why, and you don't agree or you
mm-hmm.
don't think that it was worth the relationship
yeah.
ending.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a certain level of emotion regulation
yeah.
that in terms of goals, when we were talking about that earlier, it would be, how do I help you emotionally regulate when there's feelings of helplessness, hopelessness, or even just like
rejection.
What's it feel like when you cannot
change something. Disappointment, yeah. right? Yeah. Frustration, like agitation that I cannot, they're not giving me the opportunity to show them that, no, we can mm-hmm. be better.
Right.
And learning how to sit with that.
You know, I would do some self-disclosure, and I've said this in the podcast too. I'm just having this aha moment, y'all. I ain't gonna lie. I just noticed that I've actually been one of those.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I just had this experience because I did have a friendship ended abruptly. Till this day, as I speak to you, not that I care anymore, because I really don't. Mm-hmm. But because I end up giving myself closure. Mm-hmm. A lot of times in friendships, you will find that a friend have an issue with you and keep piling up. Now we call it collecting receipts, but the person is not even preview to the other person.
Yeah.
So with this confessional, it seems mm-hmm. like it could be also a case where the friend may have a lot of things that was piling up, which lead to the blowout you're talking about, because that happened to me. And then there's that yearning, like you said, Steph, to want to know, like, what happened. Mm-hmm. And I remember, like, going to, because the person was talking to every other friend in our friend group but me. Yeah. And I remember going to these friends that they're talking to. And of course, they're not doing nothing wrong because they're their friend too. They also would not tell me what's going on. Mm-hmm. And I remember finding myself feeling like this sense of like, because this person and I were really close. Mm-hmm. And finding this sense of like, damn, am I a bad person? Yeah. What did I miss? And replaying the last interaction as mm-hmm. if I needed to like identify something and needing to release myself from that. Yeah. So I think some self-disclosure would work. And then the importance of discussing like the importance that sometimes radical acceptance and closure is going to have to come without an explanation of the act that even ended to begin with.
Right? True. And like, I would say that's sense making.
Reasoning.
Yeah. Because mm-hmm. like it's suspending yourself from sense making.
Yes.
Which people don't. I don't think counselors or, you know,
and I learned that, but
you know, like I don't think therapists or counselors talk enough about how sense making is what makes acceptance hard.
Harder. Yeah.
Like it's like I'm trying to like, I need to find the reason, the kernel of truth that to me sits right enough for me to be okay with the treatment that I received. Yeah. Remember I was talking this about like a breakup a while back, how I was like, my mind would tossle around it over and over again. Mind you, like, who knows? You that miss? Was actually an anxious attachment thing that I was doing. I corrected. Maybe I'm not 100% avoidant as I thought.
I told you, but go ahead.
Okay,
sorry.
So, yes, but I think about like you needing to like scratch that itch of like to be like, oh no, now I know the exact reason that makes sense enough for me to be able to release it mentally, not realizing you're trying to mentally release it because the emotional wound is gaping and is bleeding.
Right. Yeah. That's what you're trying to patch up your wound. Did you notice that you may have also developed a hypervigilant around other friends?
Yeah. Like now I'm really like looking for
that are healthy.
Right?
Yeah.
There was one thing too that I wanted to mention about just like, it brings up the other side of the refrigerator for me around like what it actually means to be a friend and be in community.
Yeah.
A part of that is having to have some difficult and uncomfortable conversations.
Yes.
Yeah. And just as I've grown in my career, I've definitely come to realize that oftentimes people not sharing is a part of like their own stuff, like their own performance.
Yep.
Not wanting to share based on like how they might think you respond, right? Mm-hmm. And like how that does pile up. So those small wounds become a bigger, more gaping
death
wound
by a thousand
until
cuts.
The person can't handle it anymore, right?
Exactly.
And so I think in the past, I definitely personalized that experience more. Like, what did I do to not open the space for this person? Mm-hmm. We've been friends for X amount of years. Yeah. I've been very intimate. I've seen this person forgive niggas that shit on them. I would never
that
treat
part,
them in that way.
That part.
Right. And so like trying to really gauge like what was the severity of the thing that I was doing or how I was showing up that didn't allow them to feel like they can talk to me. Mm. And then I had to like realize that perhaps that's a little bit less about me and more about like what is showing up for them, right? Like,
exactly.
How did you give yourself the space to communicate what your grievance was? That is a really important part of community. So I think that's also a skill that I would perhaps be working on with my client once they get to that space of acceptance. Mm-hmm. Is like how how do we define friendship, right? Like, how do you show up in alignment with your values regardless of how that other person responds?
But
that
also, what are your expectations from your friend?
Yes.
Because, like, you also want a friend who is willing and open to addressing grievances early and not waiting for the split end to be all the way up to the room, to the root. And then now I have to just take off the whole hair completely. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's not only this thing of like, how do I know what my values are, but how do I also make sure that I am on the lookout for friends that are more secure? Like, if we go back to the attachment style that I approach that I'm looking at with this client, it's how, if I'm wanting to make more secure attached decisions in the future, I kind of need to align myself with people
who are also
sharpen my iron in the same material that I'm trying to move towards. You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't make sense to be around someone who, it seems, if I could take a guess, is probably more avoidant leaning,
conflict avoidant,
who will
at least
probably exacerbate these feelings of where you have to like overextend yourself because they're not giving
to get to the
as
root,
much as like, what you would need.
Yeah, like you want the person to meet you halfway, but really you're having to cross over the line.
You
them.
Lean in, and it's giving leaning tower of Pisa. Like that's the, you're over here doing that, and so like when we look at emotion regulation, right? I think that involves you being able to name how you are feeling without using thoughts or memories to make sense of it. Because that's the thing that I feel like we have an issue. It's like, oh, well, I'm feeling, I'm sad, I'm feeling lonely, I'm alone. Instead of thinking, well, I'm feeling lonely because my best friend from 10 years decided to ghost me after this argument that we had after we were at a work company. Like, that's not going to somehow make the feeling of loneliness more palatable, and now adds all these like shrapnel that makes it harder for you to digest, because it's already hard enough that you feel the loneliness. Trying to go down the lane to debate or to agree is not helpful.
You know, somebody said something to me. It was this morning, actually. I was trying to see where it came up. But you know, that brain. Around our expectation of love. And how in friendships, and how, to your point, is different in that people sometimes show up in their best self, and sometimes their best self may not be what we may view or we may need
or
in ourselves. And accepting that, the fact that whatever capacity that friend needed or was showing up, you weren't able to provide that. And being okay that you won't be able to provide it without the need to change yourself or believing that you did something wrong. Because whatever space she or they needed to be held, you couldn't hold that space. And sometimes at the end of acceptance is coming to the part where what I had is what I gave, and that has to be enough.
That was enough for me because it was aligned with my values, even if it was not necessarily enough for the other person.
And being okay with that.
I
feel like the visual that comes to mind is trying to fit a square in a circle, and when it doesn't fit, people feel the need to cut their edges off in order to
instead of recognizing
make it work.
That, like,
that part. And it's like, and you hurt yourself more trying to make that fit. Ooh, that was that was a powerful one that you said there.
I think that kind of leads us back to this idea of willingness that you talked about. Willingness versus willfulness. That willfulness is really our rejection of the reality. The thing that kind of has us ruminating about like what could have been different, done, like all of that, right? That willingness is also something hard to achieve.
It is.
There is pain in accountability for how you showed up in a relationship. And like taking own, and so that sometimes prevents people from having that conversation, right? Because when you are in a relationship with someone, there's contributions on both sides. So even if I am the person who has the problem, I have contributed to this space in some way. If I'm the person on the receiving end of the grievance, I also have to be willing to experience the pain of being accountable for how I showed up and that I hurt my friend. And that can be so hard. Like,
it
when you think about being being in healthy relationships, there does have to be a level of commitment. Like, how willing am I to be to experience the pain of being accountable so that we can get to the relationship repair side?
Exactly.
I think that people give that a little bit more grace in their romantic relationships for whatever reason than they do in their friendships.
They do, and it's true.
And so I think, go ahead. I was just going to say, because I think that one thing to note further is the difference between acknowledgement and responsibility. Because I think this client, the person that we read, one is trying to take responsibility, hence why there might be doing those activating strategies, those protest behaviors, or trying to call or trying to make sure they run in, or constantly feeling like they need to be in the presence of that person in order to fix whatever grievance that they assume is there.
Yeah.
So that is responsibility. Responsibility is when you feel like you need to fix something or you need to do something to enact change on an experience. Accountability is acknowledging that you had a part in the thing. So for example, if you're baking a cake, and Tyler, if you're baking desserts, because the girl makes some great desserts.
She does.
But yeah, she makes good desserts. Let's say that I'm the one that was tasked with getting the groceries, and I go to the store and I buy eggs, and I didn't realize that the eggs that I bought were not good eggs. Technically, I need to take accountability in the fact that I bought something that then given to Tyler that she was unable to use in the way that she wanted. I can take responsibility by then volunteering myself to say, hey, Tyler, I'll go back to the store and get some fresh eggs for you. Completely different thing.
Noticing that her intention did not matter, right? Even though she intentionally did not get eggs that were bad, right?
Exactly.
There was still room for her to be accountable that, like, I've caused some harm in this moment, or I've done something that does not allow the other person to move forward.
I think we've dropped some good gems for therapists out there, therapists in training, and to our viewers.
Be curious.
You know, be curious.
Some of our seasoned therapists as
that
well.
That part.
It's definitely helpful. But we would love to hear more from you guys. We'd love to hear about your friendship breakups. Like, what feelings have you guys have been struggling with after a friend just ghosted you? You know, thoughts have you had, especially when your friend is entertaining a person, a partner who you feel like is beneath them, but is real strict
with you,
right? So please, you know, send us your stories. Please like, please subscribe. You can find us at Couch Chronicles, TAD at gmail.com.
We didn't do a listener's letter, Seth.
I'm so ahead of it. My bad.
Yeah. But all of that, though, we want to hear about it. So go ahead.
I recently got married. I knew my husband did some sports betting, but it was very little every weekend. It seemed manageable and never seemed like a problem. Football season just started, and we've been bounding between lights being turned off from non-payment to excess spending money. I'm worried and checked his phone without him knowing. He was lost. He has lost more than my yearly salary in the last 2 months. If I suggest not going to the casino or not betting, he gets very, very mad. If he loses, he tells me it's my fault and gets extremely mad.
Absolutely not.
I have a high car payment and insurance, but can comfortably pay it with less than one quarter of my paycheck. And my bank account is overdrawn now because he has been taking my phone at night and transferring it to his account. I cannot even put gas in my car because there's no money in my account and I don't know what to do. I have started taking the $1 and $5 bills from our cash out tickets and hiding them to at least have some emergency funds. This week we couldn't afford groceries and had to take all of our change to be sorted. I have never needed much, but I know that we're getting ready for our family. We need to consistently be able to buy groceries. Are you trying to have a baby?
Hell no.
Right. Cat food, pay bills, and have some amount of emergency funds. I don't know what to do anymore.
I know what to do. Get rid of his ass. Any nigga that is willing to sacrifice you.
Right.
for his own things. He is dealing, that man is dealing with some very deeply rooted things mm-hmm. that are allowing him to prioritize gambling over your survival. That exactly. is not a safe place for you to be in.
I mean, the man just also, he has a gambling addiction.
He does, he's right?
That's what it's, and when you're dealing with somebody who is addicted, they, unbeknownst to them, right, they're not, and he seems pretty deep.
Yeah, he's deep in it. And you also, I also look at addiction as like the aftermath, right? Yes. Like it's not the problem. It's usually the aftermath of a secondary solution, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I'm automatically thinking like, what is he trying to cope with mm-hmm. that is allowing him to engage in gambling in this way? And like, you're not even winning. So
yes.
it's like the reward is very low for the risk that he's willing to take. But for this listener, maybe that's not your problem.
Yes.
You need to put a pause.
Exactly. And that's basically my last advice is around the fact that, especially gambling addiction, that's a fight you're going against. Mm-hmm. So if your family, your livelihood, when your quality of life in terms of what breathe, like you scraping for cash for food to eat, and he's obviously not caring, the only time for an addict to really get themselves together, sometimes they have to lose everything in order to find themselves.
Yeah.
So the best thing you could do for you and this partner right now, people don't like to do it, is to walk away and support from a distance where you yourself are not being compromised and you are being compromised.
And overcoming addiction really is like a most effective with like self-commitment.
Exactly.
So no matter what the listener does to try to fix or manage the results or the aftermath of his addiction, that's not going to move this man closer to healing.
Nope.
That's something that has to be a journey on his own. You can be in the supporting role by encouraging
from a distance,
providing some resources, mm-hmm. but trying to take that on is unsafe and almost like reinforcing this idea that it's okay.
Exactly.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing is one, let's figure out how to get you safe financially, emotionally, mentally, because all of these things are mm-hmm. being corrupted by this experience.
So go to therapy.
When you are the spouse of someone who is addicted, the best thing that you can do for yourself in that relationship is to support from afar and mm-hmm. disconnect, even though it at times feels like you are abandoning mm-hmm. that person. It is one of those moments where alternate thinking is actually best. So, you know, please, we'd love to hear more from you guys about certain situations like this. Again,
I felt a tightness in my chest, honestly, because I kept thinking to myself, how would I sit with a client with this? Because, you know, social me, Tyler me, friend me is like, get rid of his ass. Yeah, but therapist me would really have to sit with my client
until she
was able to come to the realization that like, this is not my safe space mm-hmm. and I'm ready to take action to get out of this relationship.
Like, why do you feel like you deserve this?
That would be so hard.
That's definitely
to ask. So this episode is an episode about choosing yourself. It sounds like.
Yes, it does.
So I would say that choose yourself, live in your values.
Yes.
And just like we said last episode, live in liberation.
Liberate yourself.
All right, fam. It's been good. It's
been
great. All right.
See like I said, check us out at Couch Chronicles TAD
and give us 5 stars when you rate us.
Yes. For those listener letters and notes, giving us 5 stars on YouTube, Spotify, Amazon platforms. Talk to us, leave us comments so we can check in with you and be in community.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.